And now the purple dusk of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart.
Hey, this is Pirate RC, and I'm at Anthology in San Diego, Little Italy. And I'm here with Jane Monhai. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks. So, I found out just walking up to this room we're in that you've performed at Anthology before.
Yeah, once before when the joint first opened, and yeah, it was cool. It's good to be back.
Leaving me a song that would not die. Love is not the stardust of yesterday. The music of the years gone by.
So just actually just in talking about jazz, and you're a jazz singer, how did you get into that genre versus trying to be like a pop star, for example?
I grew up with it. I grew up listening to jazz, and I always knew I would do this. I mean, being a pop singer was never in the cards for me. And I love pop music, but I never even considered it. I mean, like, to me, it just seems kind of like, who would even want to be involved in that world? It's totally different. It's not really about music. It's, you know, it's just a different thing. And everybody knows exactly what it is because we see it in the press, and we, you know, everybody gets what's going on in the pop world. The jazz world is different. You know, it's more about music and being yourself and expressing yourself, and you know, you can get to the absolute top of it and still have a normal life. You can be a famous jazz musician and not be famous in the rest of the world, and that's awesome. But yeah, I always knew I would do this.
Cool. And I think in jazz, what's kind of unique, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that, I mean, the voice is really considered an instrument, like along with any other instrument. So, what have you done, I guess, vocally as far as training and stuff to really, like, learn how to use your voice in certain ways?
Well, I played a lot of instruments growing up, and I studied a lot of music theory, and, you know, I got my degree from a conservatory, Manhattan School of Music, so, you know, I really studied music from every angle, and other than that, just listening to records. I mean, I sing in a way that's really natural for me. I never tried to, you know, cultivate a certain sound or anything like that. I think that's a kind of a stupid thing to do anyway, because then you're not really being yourself anymore. But yeah, I just really studied music and learned music, and so, you know, I know as much theory and as much harmony as the instrumentalists on stage with me, and that's very important. You know, I have to be able to keep up with them. I have to be a strong member of the band and a strong band leader.
So do you enjoy playing any instruments, like, outside of singing? Is there anything that you...
Not anymore.
Not really?
Not anymore. When I was growing up, I loved it. I played clarinet, and I played piano and saxophone, and I was the Glockenspiel section leader of my high school marching band, which is just totally so awesome in every way. I wasn't a geek, definitely not, but... Oh, and we had crazy choreography. I remember wearing a Southern Belle gown over my marching band uniform and doing, like, choreography around, like, a trumpet soloist, and then running back and, like, getting my bells and, like,
that's what I played in high school band, and I became the band president, so
it was
not a geek either at all.
Yeah, no. Definitely not. I mean, you know, we're fabulous. I don't really play any instruments anymore. Really. Although I've just moved into a house and I finally have a piano, and I haven't had one in 14 years, so I'll probably start playing piano again.
Wow. Yeah, that'd be cool. And you actually did some musical theater for a while too, right?
Yeah, but it was mostly in school and community theater on Long Island where I grew up, and I loved it. I miss doing theater so much. I'm a giant theater queen. I love it. I really, really miss it. I haven't done a show in forever.
There's been some... Have you gotten to see any shows lately?
I mean, really. I don't... because when we're working, we're on stage, and it's, you know, nighttime and stuff like that. If there's a night off, we want to be in. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't go to the theater much anymore. And I don't live in Manhattan anymore either, so I'm, you know, that makes it hard.
Because there's been a whole... It seems like a whole movement, kind of, with actually the newer stuff. And Spring Awakening is a big reflection of that.
I can see it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, but there's been this whole just change in, like, the style of music that's in the theater, so
yeah.
Is that something you could see yourself one day getting into?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Absolutely. I would love it. And it would be great for so many reasons. I mean, number one, it would be wonderful just because I love theater and I know as much about musical theater as I do about jazz. It's just always been a huge part of my life. But it would be great now as a mother too, because mm-hmm. it'd be, you know, settling down somewhere for a long period of time with my child and getting into a schedule and having, you know, things be, having some normalcy for him. I mean, my son is 10 months old and all he knows is, you know, a different place every day, a different time zone every week, you know?
Yeah, that's...
But he's been great about it, so it's cool.
So does he, can you see some, like, musicality in him, just in him getting
it? Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable. I can already tell he has probably perfect pitch. He's desperately trying to play the drums like Daddy. He's a little ham, too. I mean, he's definitely going to be very musical in some way. Mm-hmm.
Do you, if you talk to your parents at all, do they kind of identify, like, the same traits in you, like, as a...
Yeah, I guess my husband and I were both the same way. I mean, I started singing immediately, and my husband started playing drums immediately. I mean, he was first playing when he was so little that his mom had to sit on the drum stool and hold him, and he'd play along with records. So, yeah, it would be a very expected thing if my son is the same way.
And so your husband is your drummer mm-hmm. in your band now, and how, I guess we can say, like, how did he become part of your band? And then
he always has been. We met in college and started playing a lot of gigs together and had a little band then, and we've just always played together since, like, the day we met. It's just really been, you know, him and I, you know, forever. We play together and that's it.
Cool. And who's in the who are the rest of your band members?
I have a trio here with me right now. Actually, I'm just touring with a trio permanently right now.
Cool.
And I never have before. In all my years of touring, I always had bigger bands. So it's cool to have just the trio right now. But my bass player, Neil Miner, is amazing. He's played with, like, all of the great singers. And it's just a great thing to have in the band. And my pianist, Michael Kanan, has been with me since the beginning, too.
Wow.
He's, you know, he's like my musical soulmate. So it's great. And we're all, like, best friends. And, you know, they're totally, you know, unofficial uncles to my son. And it's really great. And we have a road manager, Lee Ethier, who also does sound for us, who is the same thing. I mean, he's been with us forever. And we're all super close. And it's really a nice thing.
Cool.
It's pretty awesome. We have a lot of fun. I mean, when you can, like, wake up at 4 a.m. to, like, go to the airport and, like, be happy to see each other and laugh.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing.
That's good, yeah. For sure. As far as recording, did you record with these guys too, or
mm-hmm.
yeah?
Not the whole record. I would have if the record company would have let me. I don't like going in the studio without them, but, you know, there's a lot of pressure to sell records, and you know, the record company wants to bring in a lot of famous names,
mm-hmm.
which I can understand. I mean, you know, it's financially hard times for everybody. And that does create an opportunity to play with a lot of other wonderful musicians that, you know, you probably have always wanted to play with, you know, stuff like that. And that's really cool. But at the same time, I would much rather record with the guys I play with every night, you know. And I don't really appreciate being told what to do. That's the business.
So when you're recording, I, you know, read up a little bit, and just, it sounds like it is a, like, takes several days. I mean, how long does, like, one song take to record and get?
A couple hours.
We,
you know, if we're really being persnickety about it. I mean, part of being a jazz musician is being able to execute things perfectly the first time. Mm-hmm. Although jazz isn't about perfection, so perfectly is the wrong word. But it's not like, you know, we're spending months, you know, crafting the tracks and using, you know, tons of Pro Tools. And, you know, I've got a producer saying, like, making me do things, you know, bar by bar. You know, there are producers that have their singers do that. Bar by bar. You know, and telling them exactly what to sing. And I will not have that. We go in and we try to get a good performance.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, so it takes much less time. I spent a lot of time on my last record, Surrender. We spent a lot of time on that record. Just because we were getting really into it. And we had time to spend. Mm-hmm. You know, we really worked on that one for a long time. But the new one, Lovers, Dreamers, and Me, was made in like minutes.
Really?
Because I was like giving birth. I mean, we didn't have
like almost.
Yeah,
like,
we did half of it when I was 9 months pregnant, and half of it when Jack was like teeny tiny, a couple months after he was born. So that one was just like slapdash, like thrown together, you know.
Just like a star across my sky, just like an angel off the page, you have appeared to my life. Feel like I'll never be the same. Just like a song in my heart, just like oil.
That still came out pretty good.
It seems like if you went bar by bar, that you'd really kill a lot of, like, in your music, the emotion, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would never sing like that. And, you know, but that's why perfection is what sells in pop music and mm-hmm. stuff like that right now. And a lot of the country music that's happening, stuff like that. You know, it's like this really perfect sound. And there's a lot of work that goes into that and a lot of yeah. talented people crafting the tracks to sound that way.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for that. It's just not what we do in this genre of music.
When you did your first album, like, a long time ago, it was, like, independent, right? And
everything. Independent label.
And, okay,
I was with a record label.
Oh, you were with
a
label.
Small
okay.
indie label.
So did someone else produce at that point?
Yeah, my albums have always been produced by other people, except for my Christmas album, which I co-produced with someone. So. And I'm always asking to co-produce, but a lot of times they say no.
What was that like for you?
It was awesome. I mean, yeah. For all intents and purposes, I've basically co-produced most of my records anyway. This last one that I just made, I had little less to do with because I was obviously in the middle of, you know,
yeah.
having a baby. But I like to be incredibly involved with everything. I pick every song. I, you know, oversee the arranging to a certain point. I mean, I choose who the arranger is, and I discuss mm-hmm. the charts with them before they're arranged, and make changes if I need to, but I usually don't need to because the arrangers are so unbelievable. You know, basically when the album says you're a co-producer, all that does is let the rest of the world know that you had a lot to do with that stuff. Because yeah. as a singer, people don't think I do. I get asked every day, do you get to pick your own songs? And I'm like, well, I wouldn't do this if I didn't. if I wasn't allowed to pick my own songs, like, I'd be working retail somewhere.
Tracks of the Gap.
I'd be way too angry to yeah. actually sing if yeah. somebody was like, no, you can't do it. You know what I mean? I would not be into that. I mean, I used to be a total pushover. Now I'm all tough. I'm all like, I'm 30, I've had a baby, I've made 7 records, I'm tough now. But, you know, I didn't used to be. I used to be like a doormat. Co-producing credit is something I'll fight even harder for in the future, for sure.
Yeah. Well, they say in film, too, that you'll have a list of, you know, the executive producers, and you have, like, other producers, and you'll end up with all these. So it's an important yeah. credit, I mean, even in you know,
yeah.
that industry, for
yeah.
sure.
And on a jazz record, which is a relatively small thing with not that many people working on it, you know, if it says you co-produced, it lets people know that, like, you really had a strong hand in creating the album. And and unfortunately, when you're a singer, people don't realize that you do, that that's just who you are and what you do, you know what I mean? People assume that I'm just being told what to do, and I can't stand that. So that's why I always want, that's why I'm always trying to get that credit on the
yeah.
album, you know, notes, even though I never do.
Well, one song you chose and then ended up in the title, too, is Rainbow Connection.
Yeah.
And so, and you said it's because your son likes that song.
He loves it, yeah.
So did he first hear it, like, Kermit the Frog singing it, or did
me
he hear
singing
you?
It. He's
did
never you? Heard anyone sing it but me, I don't think. Although it's not his favorite anymore.
Oh, really?
Really, now he's... he really likes Hit the Road to Dreamland, but his obsession... obsession is... the theme to SpongeBob SquarePants. It comes on the TV and he runs for the television and like screams like with excitement, and it's crazy. But yeah, I picked Rainbow Connection for him, and so it's kind of cool to have this record of it, you know, to be able to like play for him later in life and go like, I recorded
sure.
this when this was your favorite song when you like weren't even 3 months old. And
yeah, yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
And what's on the other side? but only illusions. Rainbows have nothing to hide.
With jazz, I mean, there's so many like forms of jazz, I guess, you know, like types and everything. So when you do you remember like the first jazz record you listened to at all, or like not maybe the first one, but like do you remember the first time that you were really impacted by something, I guess, that you heard?
I think it always impacted me. I don't remember like any sort of big moment, but the first jazz record that I had that I played over and over and over and over again,
yeah,
was Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong doing Porgy and Bess, which is just so ridiculous. It's just the most amazing music ever. And then pretty much everything Ella after that, especially the Duke Ellington songbook.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wore that one out. I had everything on cassette tapes, you know, that my granddad made me from the LPs. And I just, yeah, wore them out.
And did you sing along pretty early on?
Oh, from the minute I mean, that's all I ever did. I would come home from school and just play records and sing along. I would bring the, you know, boombox into the bathroom and, like, be in the tub singing along, you know, when I had to take my bath. And, when I was little, you know, like, I remember laying in bed, like, it'd be, like, past my bedtime and, you know, my mom would just let me just play the music and sing along, and I'd just be playing my tapes and singing and singing and singing until, like, late at night, just laying in bed. I never shut up. But now I never sing at home unless it's to Jack, my son.
Is there any, when you think about, like, what songs you enjoy singing most, do you like the ones that are more emotive, like, in a sad way, or do you kind of like where you can be a little more sassy and, like...
The sad ones used to be my absolute favorite,
mm-hmm.
and now I like the happy swingers more, because I'm just not, like, I was such a dark warrior in my 20s, oh my god, I was, like, the merchant of darkness that... Sorry, these are, like, banned jokes I'm, like, bringing into the interview, but... Yeah, I was just like, you know, drama.
Yeah.
You know, and I still am a little, but being a mother has really lightened me up. So now I like the happy stuff a lot more. But my favorite stuff is the Brazilian stuff. That's really my favorite. Yeah.
Like to sing with, like, do a duet with?
Oh god, a million people. I'd really love to sing with Jamie Cullum. I love him.
I do too.
He
yeah.
is freaking so rad. I can't stand it. He's so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He's a nice guy too. But he's just him. Yeah, I've met him a couple times. But he's cool. He is just ridiculous. I love him. I'd love to sing with him.
Yeah, he did the Hollywood Bowl and that was fun. And,
oh my god, so awesome.
And he's kind of so actually, like, I mean, I don't want to talk about Jamie Cullum too much, but he has taken some songs that you wouldn't ever expect to go into the jazz style, like, you know, covered Radiohead, for example, and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and then you had, like, Corinne Bailey Rae and Fiona Apple, right? So, I don't even know if this is a question you could answer, but when you hear certain songs, do you just hear them in a different way, possibly, that you can say, okay, this would actually work
in a different style? I tend to just listen for, you know, the melody and the lyrics, and, you know, the harmony is generally something you can really mess around with. The melody and the lyrics have to stay what they are. You have to, you know, honor the writer on that. And generally with the harmony too, but, you know, everyone knows when you do a jazz version of something, you're messing with the changes. But, you know, as a singer, you know, I can hear pretty much any piece of music and be able to go, yeah, I can do that, or yeah, I can't do that the second I hear it. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a skill you develop over time, you know, and I'm sure Jamie's the same way. And yeah, it's really cool to take tunes from other genres and bring them into this style of music. I mean, that's one of the great things about jazz is that it's just open. There's so many things you can do. I mean, there are, you know, those people that we like to call the jazz police that don't believe that that's true, but They're boring and old and have sticks up their butts.
Well, it's just taking, too. I mean, when you take a different kind of genre and turn it into jazz, you're making the jazz a little more palatable for someone, right?
Yeah.
And then they kind of go, oh, and then what's the next track? Oh, that's cool, too. I don't know that song, but...
Yeah. And, oh, my God, that was written in 1932. Well, fancy that. It sounds great next to a song that was written last year.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and it's all totally possible. I mean, good songs are good songs. It's that simple.
Is there a performer you've seen that just kind of knocked your socks off, maybe, other than, let's say, other than Jamie? Like, just...
A lot of people. Although I don't go to hear live music a whole lot, you know, because you can't really do that with an infant.
Yeah.
And I didn't really want to do that much when I was pregnant, either, because... You just don't want to sit still in one place for too long, and you're running for the ladies' room every 5 seconds, and, you know, it's all that kind of stuff. But, God, I don't know a lot of people. You know what, like, because you said the Hollywood Bowl made me think of this, what performance I constantly think about, and, oh, God, it was so rad. I did a show at the Hollywood Bowl a few years ago that was, like, a tribute to Peggy Lee with, like, a ton of different artists, mm-hmm. and Bea Arthur was on the bill. Like,
really?
Dorothy Golden.
Yeah, no, for
Arthur,
sure.
Who, you know, she's like a major, like, Broadway legend, like, mm-hmm. theater, you know, everything. And she sang this song that I actually recorded on my last record called The Shining Sea, which is, like, this terribly sad song. It just kind of tells this story about this woman and, you know, loses her love, whatever. And it was just her and a harp. And hearing this woman, you know, who's, you know... obviously much more, you know, mature and has really lived and is this incredible actress who can tell a story like no one else, and her voice has aged but it still communicates so well, and then to just have this delicate heart, it was the most amazing thing. I'll never forget it as long as I live. It was unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, I love her anyway. I'm a huge fan of hers from you know, theater and all that, and I've seen every episode of Golden Girls.
Me too.
Ever.
I own them on DVD.
Me too. Oh my God, I totally do. I love them. It's the best show ever. But I'm a huge fan of hers for other reasons, and it was just an outrageously moving performance. I mean, I was sitting there on the side of the stage, the whole cast of the show, like all these heavy singers and mm-hmm. everybody's managers and agents and spouses and everything, were on the side of the stage just weeping.
Wow.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. No, that does sound...
It was ridiculous. And the lyrics to the song are so sad. Like, if you, like, look at the lyrics online and read them, they're heart-wrenching.
Well,
Peggy Lee wrote the lyrics.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's one thing that's cool, I guess, is that, like, for your style of singing, what you're doing, the lyrics have to be important to you.
Yeah.
Right? And to tell the story. And is there anything, do you draw from, like, your experience acting and stuff, and do you almost, like, take on a different role when you're singing different songs? Or?
Oh, yeah. That's part of the fun of it. I mean, some people think, you know, oh, it has to all be life experience and la la la. And that is an awesome thing, singing. And a lot of the singing that I do is from life experience. And I used to make sure that it all was. But now that I'm older, I'm just like, really? I feel like I can probably have some fun too. And especially with this new project, I do a couple songs that have lyrics that I haven't lived. But it's fun to sort of play those characters. Like Something Cool is a good example of that. And I Do It For Your Love is a good example of that.
Cool.
Something cool. I'd like to order something cool.
All right, well, Jane, thanks a lot for the
interview. Thank
you. Really appreciate it. And if you're listening, you got to check her out online at least, if not when she comes to your town. So cool. And do you have any pirate jokes by any chance?
No.
Or.
I don't, but I rode Pirates of the Caribbean the other day at Disneyland.
Very good. Yeah, that counts. That's good for pirate pods.
It's freaking awesome.
It was a good ride, right?
I brought my son on it. He was like...
You did?
Yeah, they were like, there's no restrictions. You can bring a baby on. I was like, all right. He loved it. I was like, you are my son. Love you.
Cool. Pirates of the Caribbean is a good pirate shout out for sure. That does count.
And I have an anchor tattooed on my wrist. Does that count?
When did
I'm
you get that?
I'm kind of piratey a few years ago. My dad's a fisherman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
You were so awfully nice to ask me, and I'm so terribly far from